I am honored to be with you. I do this often and have done it for years. I've been in the field of addiction and with the school system for 17 years in Guilford County, but I have to tell you that I've never done it in front of my parents and their friends and people who watched me grow up and people that I may have even gone to high school with that I don't remember. So kind of coming back to Winston-Salem and doing this really does bring me full circle, and I appreciate you being here. There is a ton of information in this presentation, and we have a little bit of time. But what I want to make sure of is that you get your questions answered and that you get information that you came to get rather than me just throwing a ton of stuff at you. So I guess I'm wondering how many people in here have teenagers or are parents or grandparents of teenagers, and that's why you're here. Okay, great. Great. Okay. I have information on current trends. I'll show you. So I have information on all kinds of things. Decision-making and adolescent development we're going to talk about very briefly. Gateway drugs and current trends, and there's a lot of information there, like I said. Some warning signs. I have some things that we can hand out for you, and some strategies for prevention for parents. And I think, especially if you're a parent or a grandparent, please don't leave without a handout that that has that on there. So we've got some tips, and I want to make sure we get to that and don't get lost in all the details of all the horrifying drugs that are out there, because there's lots of scary stuff happening, all of which you probably don't need to worry about. But some things you do want to be aware of. The thing I want you to hear, especially if you're a parent of a teenager, because that is a hard, hard job. I know I've been one, and I lived through it, just so you know, that is possible, is that parents are the number one influence on teenagers still today. And so even though a lot of times when you're a parent of a teenager, it doesn't feel like you're the most important thing or the biggest influence that is in their life, you are. And so don't forget that. I think a lot of times they don't act like we are as teenagers. Of course, their peers are important. The media is important, and they get a lot of messages from the media. And you can read for yourself, so I'm not going to read every slide to you. But adolescent development is an important part of what we're looking at when we look at teens and drug use. And so if you consider what you see here are scans of a teenage brain and brain development. And you know the front of the brain is the prefrontal cortex. It's the part that's in charge of judgment and decision making, right? The parts that are blue are the parts that are all hooked up and connected. So if you start down here at age 5 or up here at age 5, you can see that more and more of that brain becomes blue. But it takes a while. It takes into the early 20s. That says 20. Now, women, this is not going to surprise you, women actually connect faster than the men do. Sorry, but it's true. And boys can take into their mid-20s to late 20s to actually completely connect there. And so decision-making happens in parts of the brain that are connected to the emotion. And for those of you that have been school counselors and instructors, you guys know this already. But just so that you have that information, because then when you put drugs on top of that developing brain, what you can have is a mess really quickly. So the earlier a person uses drugs, the more quickly they can become addicted, and the more damage there can be to the brain. So just to talk about drugs, gateway drugs are drugs that often that people use first. Is this new information to anybody? You guys have kind of heard of gateway drugs, right? So we consider tobacco to be a drug in the school system, and it's very addicting. And although it's not real mind-altering, it certainly is a gateway into making decisions that your parents might not want you to make and stepping outside of that kind of zone of following the rules. We're going to talk about the other ones. We're going to talk about all of these in detail. Alcohol remains the most widely abused drug by teens, and like you can see the stats here. These statistics are from the, I believe it's 2013 Monitoring the Future survey, which kind of gives us information about how much people are using and that teenagers are using. This, actually the use of alcohol has dropped, but overall, but we're still seeing this much of it. So it still is certainly a concern. When we talk about underage drinking, I want to talk just a little bit about this. Alka-Pops are those sweet drinks that are you can find in the grocery store. You don't have to go to the ABC store to buy them. And so they're readily available. They're more visible for young people and children. And so, and they're kind of geared to the younger crowd. Alcohol companies really focus on younger folks. If they can get brand recognition to happen at an early age, then later when they do go into the ABC store, they're going to pick that brand. So that's why they call them Alka-Pops. It's not like a lollipop, though. It's one of those sweeter drinks. Have you guys heard of Palcohol? No. Palcohol is powdered alcohol. And it has been approved for sale. These four packages were approved. The guy that launched this, or that is selling this, that invented it, did so a while back. And he was pretty careless with his wording on his website and irresponsible. And they really nailed him on it. And so he had to pull back and regroup. And he did, of course, and he represented this. And so what we've got now, we're looking at four different kinds of powdered alcohol. And one of these packets is about the size of a Capri Sun juice thing. And it contains the equivalent of one shot of alcohol. And you simply mix it with water, shake it, and you've got a drink. They've got four different kinds. And you'll hear lots of scary things like people are going to snort it and people are going to spike drinks with it and those kinds of things. People can sneak it into things more easily. If you look this up on the internet, you'll see a talk by this guy talking about all those myths, some of which I think he might be on the money with, some of which I don't believe. I think it will be easier to sneak it into places. I think you probably will be mixed with other things, and it will be mixed with other drugs probably too. I don't think people will snort it very long because it will hurt, and it will take, it's a lot of powder, and it's just one shot of alcohol. It'd just be easier to mix it with water and drink it to get the effect. So at any rate, that's on the way, and it's probably not going away. With underage drinking, I think one of the most important things to think about is that using alcohol does not need to be a rite of passage, and that we can have rites of passage without introducing alcohol to teenagers. And there's a reason why you want to wait until you're 21 to try alcohol. And so these are just some of the results of that. What we know about underage drinking is that it causes 2 deaths a week in North Carolina, the results of that. And those may not be teenage deaths, but overall, because of accidents and those kinds of things. Hosting a party and providing alcohol is not a good idea. You guys probably know that already, but share that with other people as well. Because there's this myth that if I have the party at my house, I can make sure that they're gonna be safe. And I can control whatever happens. I'll take the keys and make sure they don't drive. That is just a myth. You really can't ever control somebody else's drinking or the outcomes of that. And so, you know, people can overdose, people can leave and get in trouble, and then if you held the party at your home, you're legally responsible as the adult. I put this on here because I want you to see a hookah pipe. I know you know what cigarettes and cigars are. Hookah pipe, have you seen the hookah lounges all over the place? You may have seen them and not known what they were. Hookah is a flavored tobacco, and people smoke it, and it's got nicotine in it. Sometimes the myth is because there's water in the pipe, it's not as bad for you. That is a myth. That's not true. It cools the smoke, but there's still tar and all kinds of crud that gets in your lungs from smoking, just like anything else. You guys know what vaping is? Okay. Have you seen the electronic cigarettes? Yeah, okay. And that's what vaping is. Vaping is smoking electronic cigarettes. There are lots of different names for them. The coolest thing out right now are hookah pens or hookah. Sometimes they just call it hookah. Some of these are dispensable, and you just use them once. Some of them you refill, and so there's e-juice or juice that goes with them, liquid that you put in it. Excuse me. The liquid can contain nicotine, but it doesn't always. Some of them are just flavors. And you can go online. I would encourage you to Google it if you go online. Go online and Google it and see what you pull up, because it is a big, big business right now that's not well regulated. Now, people have used these things to stop smoking. It's possible to do that, but the research doesn't show that consistently. And the research also doesn't show us what happens long-term to people that have used these things. What we do know is that there are small particles that collect in the lungs. It's not smoke. It's water. It's kind of like a water vapor that holds the nicotine, and you can put different levels of nicotine in it, or like I said, no nicotine. So I'm dealing with, in my county, and I'm sure it's here too, lots of middle schoolers that have hookah pens or hookah, and they're just trying the flavors. And I'm talking flavors like Cherry Coke, gummy bears, cotton candy. These are not things made for adults. And people are making lots of money off of it. And we really don't know what it does to the body yet. It probably is a little safer than combustible cigarettes or real cigarettes. So if somebody's hooked on cigarettes and they're an adult, that might be something they want to try. I don't recommend it for kids, ever. You guys know what marijuana is, right? Because of the change in laws in our country, and I think what's going to happen with marijuana is that we're going to get more information about how it could be helpful as a medicine. The problem with using marijuana as a medicine, as I see it, just if you wanted my opinion, is that the route of administration of the drug, in other words, the way it goes in the body, is through the lungs if you're smoking it, and that is never good. It's never good to smoke anything. Some of the reasons for medical marijuana, I'm sure you've read about, and we could do a whole hour on medical marijuana. But there are some things that it can help with, appetite and those kinds of things. That's not a reason for a 13-year-old to smoke it, though. And so I think we'll be learning more and more about it. This thing on the right here is called wax or shatter or chatter. There's lots of different slang terms for it, and it's a form of hash oil that has been refined in a process to make it more potent. And they just smoke a little bit of it. They can even vaporize it. And so there are different routes of administration, too. It's possible you've heard of pot brownies, right? Those have been around a long time. So there are other ways to take this in. Part of the problem that they're seeing, though, in some of the states where it's been legalized are emergency room visits for 0 to 5-year-olds getting the edibles. Edibles are cookies with marijuana in it or hash oil in it. And so that's some of the fallout from those change in laws. And I think we'll just have to keep watching to see what happens. Any questions or anything about marijuana? Because it's big. I think you probably have a lot of information on it. Inhalants. You guys heard of inhalants before? I'm seeing some nods. Inhalants are not extremely popular. Their popularity is declining, which is great. It is more popular with middle school students than high school students. But inhalants are just simply breathing in poisonous chemicals to alter someone's mood. They're very dangerous. Of course, it's poison that you're breathing in. So it's something that can kill you almost immediately. It's kind of like playing Russian roulette. That's what we tell the kids. prescription drugs and prescription drug abuse and addiction is rampant in our country at this point. That's probably not news to you guys, is it? No? Okay. You kind of knew that. And so some of the drugs that people abuse are pain medicines, the opiates, stimulants, ADHD medication, Concerta, Ritalin. Those are the stimulants. Sedatives would be Xanax and other tranquilizers. What we're seeing is that kids will sometimes get all the medicines they can from wherever they can and go to a party. Have y'all heard of the fishbowl parties? Where they, it's a new definition of fishbowl parties, where they throw all the drugs in a fishbowl and just grab a handful and take them. And they don't even know what they're taking. Pretty scary stuff, really. And the other thing I'm seeing is certainly a lot more addiction to these things, especially the opiates. The thing about opiates is they're the same family of drug as heroin. I know you've heard of heroin. That's one of those big bad drugs that's been around for a long, long time. So opiates being the same family, what has happened is that people get addicted to it, and now they're making it harder to get them, which is good. That's good. But the problem is that it's easier to get heroin sometimes than it is Vicodin or Oxycontin or oxycodone. And so we're seeing people ending up addicted to heroin now that never would have been addicted to it before, never would have even thought about using it before. Because when you're addicted to a pain medicine and you stop, who knows what happens? Anybody know? You get withdrawal, yeah. And withdrawal is awful. From opiates. You feel like you're dying. You don't die from it, but you wish you could. So you're achy, and you feel like you got the flu and throwing up and all kinds of stuff. And so there's a point where people just use to try to avoid being sick or dope sick. And so sometimes we'll turn to heroin. Now, recently, I know you've heard in the news about the heroin overdoses that have happened. There have been a lot of them. In Guilford County, we've had an outrageous number of heroin overdoses. And the reason why is because the heroin that's coming into Guilford County now is either laced with acetylfentanyl or it's pure acetylfentanyl. And what they're doing is they're doing tests on that and monitoring that very closely to see. But what we're seeing is a lot of overdoses. That drug is much, much more powerful than heroin. And I think it probably is more available to the cartels sending it up. At least that's what the law enforcement tells me in Guilford County. And so we're seeing a rash of overdoses. And recently, from what I've read, that's really kind of nationwide. I knew it happened in Greensboro because it just kind of exploded on us. But recently I've seen where that's happening really all over the nation. So really scary stuff. I wanted to show you this because this shows you where the sources are of the prescription drugs that people are using, that kids are using. So you can see in that blue area, most people, 54%, they're getting from a relative or friend. And of that 54%, that relative or friend got them from one doctor. So that's their prescription. So we're not talking about some drug dealer on the corner here. You know, so the source is different. And so I would encourage you to, just in case I don't get to this part, because I don't think I'm going to, I would encourage you to make sure that if you have medicines in your home, even if you don't have teenagers, that you not put them in the bathroom that any guests are going to use, and that you make sure that you don't keep them around just in case you need them, and that you dispose of them in a way, a lot of times there'll be drop boxes and things like that where you can dispose of your medicines. But just be responsible with those things. Not that you guys aren't, but I think those are things we haven't thought about, our medicine cabinets. Yes? Yeah. Bingo. Good job. Yes. She said the increase of over-the-counter drugs. So absolutely. There is a large increase of that. Mostly the drugs with dextromethorphan in them, which is a cough suppressant or cough medicine. And what they'll do is sometimes mix it with things, the lean and the purple drink and all the robotripping. Sometimes what they'll do is mix it with liquor, mix a drink up, Kool-Aid, cough syrup, And I know it sounds awful, and I imagine it is, but it packs a wallop. And if you have enough dextromethorphan in you, you can hallucinate. And some people want to do that. And so that's what that is. It also, if you get too much of that in you, it creates lesions in your brain, is what we, you know, share with the students. But over the counter, sometimes they'll call the Corseed and cough and cold triple C, Skittles. There's lots of slang terms for it. Very dangerous. And one of the reasons why it's dangerous is it because it doesn't just have that one chemical in it. It's got acetaminophen or Tylenol in it. And you don't need too much of that in your body. It's got lots of stuff in it that you don't want to get too much of. But yeah, anything to alter how we feel. Club drugs. These are just a kind of a category, but a lot of times you'll find these drugs anywhere else too, not just in a club. Ecstasy, MDMA, and Molly are all the same thing. Have y'all heard of those? Some of you have, yeah. Molly came out after ecstasy. Ecstasy, at first we didn't think it did any harm to people, and then we found out it did. And then I think what they did, they being the people that make this stuff, they're pretty smart, really. And then they started coming out with this thing called Molly, which is short for molecule, which was supposed to be the pure form of ecstasy. And I think it's really at this point the same thing that it was before, or maybe even other cruddy chemicals that they're putting in it. You'll find references to that drug in a lot of music these days, and it's very popular. It's a hallucinogen and a stimulant, so it speeds up the central nervous system, and it can make you hallucinate. GHB and Rohypnol are date rape drugs. They're both sedatives, and so they sedate the central nervous system, make the person very sedated. If you mix that with alcohol, it can even do it more, because there's going to be a synergistic effect that just kind of really takes the person down and could even make them overdose very quickly. But that's what those are. Any questions about those or comments? Okay. We're almost through the drugs. So I just listed a bunch of them, and this is not all of the stuff that's out there by any stretch of the imagination. The first couple are hallucinogens. The LSD and the psilocybin are the mushrooms. Crack cocaine, you've heard of, I'm sure. Crystal methamphetamine, I'm sure you've heard of, and heroin, I'm sure you've heard of. Those are some of the more, some of the harder drugs that people get into as they get further into drug use. A lot of times they don't start out with these things. If you have questions about them specifically, I'd be glad to talk to you afterward. But I want to tell you about these emerging drugs because it's important. Synthetic cannabinoids, K2 spice, or the fake marijuana. Have you guys heard of that? Yeah, some of you have. It used to be sold in head shops or even convenience stores around our area. They have banned it since they started realizing what it was. What I've seen is in some studies that after marijuana, synthetic marijuana is the thing that kids are using the most. That scares me, because synthetic marijuana is nasty stuff. What they do is they just take herbs and they spray chemicals on it. They spray a synthetic cannabinoid on it. The synthetic cannabinoid is stronger and works differently in the brain than regular marijuana. Regular marijuana is a partial agonist. Now, if there are any brain surgeons out there, I'm sorry if I'm getting this wrong. But it binds there, but it's only partially covering that, and so the receptor site. And so what we're seeing with this is it's a full agonist, and so it messes up the whole system in the brain. And so we're seeing pretty awful effects, and things like seizures and heart problems, and you know, just awful, awful things from it. I think because it's not even real marijuana, they thought it was safe. So just know. Synthetic cathinones or bath salts. Have y'all heard of bath salts? These are not the ones you get at Bath and Body Works. You can keep those. They're fine, and it's okay to use them in your bath. Bath salts are a thing that they came up with that is a chemical that makes a person hallucinate, and it is a very potent chemical, and can what they've seen is that it can cause psychotic breaks, and so there's they've even phrased a term, schizophrenia. That was with the cannabinoids. So, but what they're seeing is that people are pretty much losing their minds on this stuff, and hallucinating for long periods of time. Pretty dangerous. Now, what happens is they're passing laws to restrict these, and then the chemists who created them are changing the molecules just a bit. They'll just add a little something, and so all of a sudden there's a new one that's not illegal. And so it's this cat and mouse game that's going on. And at this point, I think they're trying to look at changing laws to make them more broad so that they can cover more things as they come. You know, the things that they haven't even made yet, because they know they're coming. These synthetic hallucinogens are the same thing, things that make people hallucinate. And again, they start out as not being illegal because they're one chemical, and then they're chasing it along. Caffeine powder, it's just, you know, you can find anything on the internet, and it's dangerous stuff. So we're seeing people overdosing on caffeine even. But I think people think because it's caffeine, or probably kids think because it's caffeine, maybe it's not dangerous. Okay. Any questions about any of the drugs we talked about? Yeah, good question. The question was, what about Red Bull in the can? Yes. The energy drinks, I probably should put on there because they do have a lot of caffeine in them. And then they have other things that are supplements like taurine and those kinds of things that also are stimulants, that act as stimulants in the body. What I say is I wouldn't recommend drinking more than one ever, and I really wouldn't recommend drinking any. Of course, what's happening, though, is people are mixing that with alcohol. I mean, if you go to a bar, there are drinks now that are, you know, that are, and so you got alcohol, depressant, and Red Bull, stimulant, and what happens is that the body, that you don't realize how intoxicated you are. And so what we're seeing is probably more alcohol overdoses as a result of that because people aren't able to regulate their intake as well. Kind of dangerous stuff. Good question. Any other things you came in here wondering about that you just... Okay. Yes. Yeah, that's LSD. And what it is a blotter LSD. They take an eyedropper, it's a liquid, and they drop it on those little pieces of paper, and they cut them up, and each square is a hit. And so you just take the hit and put it on your tongue, and it dissolves, and it's just the route of administration for it. Mm-hmm. Good question. Any others? So some warning signs. The pamphlet that we have has some warning signs listed, and those are available afterwards. You're welcome to get them. But what we see is a decline in school performance, problems with law enforcement, problems with finances, changes in peer group. All of a sudden, they're hanging with kids that they really wish they weren't hanging with. Personality changes. Now, with adolescents, you're going to see mood swings, right? Because that's what happens. And it's a tough time. Being an adolescent, being a teenager is difficult. It's very difficult because hormones are all over the place. Mood swings are all over the place. Figuring out who you are, it's just a really tough time. But so personality changes, you might see that anyway. But what we're talking about is extreme, really extreme. Physical problems, alcohol and drug-related behavior, actually looking high or maybe being high. Alcohol, we said that, disruptive family relationships. It's very difficult to deal with somebody that's using alcohol or drugs. That's probably not news to you guys who have done that. It is not easy. It's not easy. And a lot of times I think people end up questioning themselves because the person that's using a lot of times is given great answers for things or avoiding answers or acting like you're the one that's crazy. And you're thinking, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. So I would encourage you to bounce your situation off of other people that know what you're going through, that have some understanding. and so that you can be effective, especially in parenting or being a grandparent and saying what you need to say. Okay. So, very quickly, some strategies for prevention. I think there's no surefire way. If there was one answer for keeping your kid safe and drug-free for the rest of their lives, if I had that, I'd be rich. I wouldn't be here. I'd be somewhere else, probably, spending my money. But there's not a magic answer. There's just not. But what there are some skills and some things that you can develop as parents and grandparents to kind of aid you going through this process and keeping people alive until their prefrontal cortex connects, right? Until we can get that connection happening. So being alert to their environment, knowing who's going to be where they're going, what's the purpose, who are they hanging out with, is it going to be supervised? I think talking to the other parents that are going to be in charge of things and just making sure that this is going to be a party where there's not going to be alcohol. Because you may have that idea and that understanding that we don't need to serve alcohol to these students as they graduate from high school, but the person where they're going may not have that understanding. And so I think it's important to ask. Although it's not comfortable to ask, it's real easy for me to stand up here and say that, but I sat in your seat and it's not comfortable to call that parent you really don't know and say, how's this going to be? But I encourage you to do it because it can be helpful. Being aware of their attitude, what kind of posters are in the room, what kind of music are they listening to. Now, that doesn't mean they can't listen to crazy music, you know, or some of the new music. That it doesn't mean that just because they're listening to something that you've never heard or something that's a little strange or loud or whatever, that's the end of them right there. But I think it's just a clue. It gives you an idea of what's going on. We talked a little bit about cleaning out your medicine cabinet. Secure the liquor and the wine. Just understand that if that's sitting out there, that's a drug. And it's okay if you're an adult and you can do that and you can manage it and drink successfully as an adult, that's not a problem. But putting it out there where teenagers can get to it may not be a good idea. And it may not be just your kid. It may be somebody else's kid that has access to that and the medicine cabinet. So I would say you don't necessarily have to have it under lock and key, but I would certainly be aware of it and just pay attention. I guess beer or wine. Yeah. Some people keep liquor in the freezer, too. Yeah. Okay. Know that the dreaded drug talk, needs to be an ongoing conversation. So, obviously, the better your communication is with your family and your kids, the more easily you're going to be able to do that. I think being honest and informative and non-judgmental, ask open-ended questions rather than yes and no questions, because teenagers really probably are not going to want to talk about it. It's weird and uncomfortable, and they know better a lot of times. And it's not that teenagers are dumb and don't know. It's just that they need to know that you know, and they need to know that you're willing to show up and participate in this conversation with them. And that you're not just going to go away if they brush you off. I think that's important. I want to tell you a short story about teachable moments. When my daughter was younger, she was in middle school, and we were giving her and her kid, her friends a ride. And this song came on the radio, Because I Was High. Have y'all heard it? It was years ago. And the refrain was, because I was high, I'm not going to sing, okay, I'm not going to try to, but because I was high. And it goes through, it sounds really happy and joyful, because I was high. It's like, it's wonderful I was high. But it talks about his life really tanking. It talks about his life just being destroyed, like, you know, lost the job, didn't go to school, whatever, because I was high. So I thought, teachable moment. I'm a substance abuse counselor. We're going to talk about this. I can't just let this play, right? So after the song, I said, so what do you think that meant? And so we talked about it, and we talked about if it was good or bad or whatever. So later, I heard that I was going to give him a ride again, and my daughter's friend said, well, that's good. We'll ride with you, but do we have to have that talk with your mother again? Oh, well, I was just trying to do my job. I made an impression anyway. I don't know. Take the chances you can get and follow through with them. Being clear about the rules and the consequences within your home and what you expect as a parent is important. And then following through with those consequences. Urine drug screens, if you decide to use them, you can buy urine drug screens at the drugstore now. Those will not keep kids off drugs. If it's something that you suspect and you want to use a urine drug screen, know what your plan is for the results of that screen. You know, don't just think that screening them is going to keep them from using drugs. There's lots of ways around them. And if you don't have any indication that there might be need for that, I wouldn't necessarily suggest that. I don't think that all kids need to be drug screened. I'm not militant with this. But if it's something you're concerned about, you know, your behavior is not looking good, your grades are not good, things are adding up here, we're going to do this urine drug screen. If it's positive, we're going to get you some more help, and you get to pay for the drug screen. And if it's negative, I'll pay for it. And this is going to happen every so often. And just know that it's coming. I'm not going to tell you when. We took my teenager out and got him some coffee. Big old thing from Starbucks, one of those iced things, iced frappuccino. And then sprung it on him after he had the... So he couldn't say he couldn't go. And anyway. Okay. So, yeah. All right. So, the other is just consider the importance of the example that you're setting. Just understand, and I'm certain that you do already. There are some resources here, and they're listed on the handout if you want to look at that or get one of those. Drugfree.org is just a great resource. The middle one, the National Institute on Drug Abuse, is one of the best websites that I've ever found on this subject. You can find out information on any drug. You can find out information on current research, current policy. It's a huge website. It's the middle one. It's really the National Institute of Health and then the National Institute on Drug Abuse, which is a part of that. It's updated regularly. They do a great job. Their information on addiction is up to date. Their information on the drugs is up to date, and it's just a wonderful resource. I recommend it. And then this Drug Free Alliance is a place where you can sign up for a newsletter for parents and to get tips, maybe monthly, I think, is when it comes out. So any questions about anything that we've talked about? Yes. Well, I'll tell you, that's a tough one. It's tough because what you're looking at is it's a whole family system. And so I think anything you can do, did you all hear the question? As grandparents, what can we do? I think as grandparents or parents, talking openly and honestly about the issue is important. I think getting added support can be helpful. To see what is going on and what kind of interventions are in place. And each situation is so different that it might be that you've got a situation where there already have been some interventions and somebody's in treatment and coming back. How do we be supportive? And those kinds of things. And I would say, honestly, just letting people know, you know, we're really pulling for you and we want to see your life go better. And talking about how you feel, honestly and openly, would be my... just off the top of my head response to that. Yes. Yes. I do. Thank you for asking. Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that because I would have forgotten. 12-step programs, Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous for addicts and alcoholics, and 12-step programs for family members, Al-Anon and Nar-Anon. I don't know how big Nar-Anon is here in Winston-Salem. I know Al-Anon is very substantial. In Greensboro, I think there's one Nar-Anon meeting. But both of those group fellowships,
Nar-Anon,
yeah. It's the family, it's a sister fellowship to Narcotics Anonymous, like Al-Anon's is a sister fellowship to Alcoholics Anonymous. And so it's four families of addicts. And then there's families of alcoholics too. And those 12 steps are amazing in Al-Anon, and they can be very helpful in helping you figure out what's mine and what's theirs, and what do I need to do to be loving and caring but still take care of myself. Because if you're not able to detach enough to take care of yourself, you're not going to be any help to that kid. Yeah.
Do you have an idea what percentage of teenagers are in trouble? Is this 100%? Is it 10%? Is it 40%? In other words, at some point, legislation.
Well, it certainly should, and I don't. It's certainly not 100%. Most kids don't use drugs. Most kids don't have a problem with drugs, but the ones that do really do. And I don't have that percentage for you. I don't know that I've ever been asked that question or looked at it that way. I'm so used to looking at specific drugs. Overall, if you look at 10 adults that drink alcohol, two of them end up addicted. So it may be around that kind of a percentage. It certainly is not going away. And some of the factors include genetics, but it's not 100%. Thank you for asking. Yes, sir. No. I don't think so. No, certainly not. And I don't know because I'm not a lawyer. That's not my area of expertise, but I would ask one because it's against the law. It's against the law to serve minors. That's contributing to the delinquency of a minor. So, yes, it's against the law, and I would ask an expert in that field how to move with that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But you can get a pink kind of beer or a souvenir glass. Mm-hmm. And that's a risk factor for people with breast cancer.
It is.
The marketing is really geared a lot toward women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody couldn't hear you. So what she was saying is that the marketing is geared toward women around alcohol now, and there's a rise in binge drinking with women. And she was just talking about an event that kind of targeted that. And the thing about women and alcohol is that they're affected faster and more severely physically with alcohol. So it's certainly concerning. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, alcohol is an accepted drug. I mean, it just is. It's part of our culture. It's part of our society. It's part of how we celebrate. It's something to consider. And I think ask questions about how responsible are we being. I don't know that I want to go back to prohibition either. I don't have the answer, but I know that we got a mess. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he thought he was probably okay.
Right.
But my mother, it was a really hard time with her, she was like, she was drinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we learned a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of rough years.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to that.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a clever thing that goes on.
Insidious disease.
Yeah, right. Women were, I don't know, but in our case, my mother was much worse than my dad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there are. There are a lot.
Kimberly?
Yes. Okay. I'm glad to know you're still working, Dad.
I'm
glad you're behaving yourself. Thank you. You know, this is really full circle, and for me personally, you'll see if you get the pamphlet that it's dedicated to my parents, who I put through hell during my own teenage years as a juvenile delinquent. And there is a lot of recovery in our family today, too, and I'm very grateful for that. And good to be with you guys. I know you need to probably go and yourselves and take a break before church. But thank you so much.